All right, it's a brand new episode of the Call to Arms podcast. It's not every day that we talk to a Hall of Famer. It's not every day, but not to brag or anything, but it's been happening every couple of weeks or so. And that's something that the team is so, so proud of. And that's something that we're so appreciative that our partnership with NBA Philippines and the NBA Republika Huddle show on YouTube has given us just incredible access to some of our favorite NBA players and legends, and even some of the NBA legends who broke the hearts of our favorite teams. And that's exactly the case today, as we have Jesus Shuttlesworth himself, Ray Allen. Now, when I was walking in to prepare for the interview with Ray Allen, I asked, hey, can I spend my limited time with him talking only about and specifically about Jesus Shuttlesworth? The role, the movie, the experience working with Denzel and Spike, and if there ever was going to be a sequel, how's that going to look like? And they flat out told me, no, no, leave your fandom and your geekiness over a random film aside. By the way, that random film, best basketball movie of all time. And let's talk to him about basketball and the NBA. And so that's what we did. And we were so, so happy to be able to do it. If you guys want to watch the full thing on video and see Ray himself during this interview, then you can catch it on the YouTube channel. Just search for the NBA official channel on YouTube. And by the way, shout out to our friends from the NBA, to our friends who make up the team behind the Republika Huddle. And please, please make sure that you guys go like, subscribe, comment, engage with all their content over on YouTube. We also talk a little bit about sneakers here. So shout out to the man, Mr. Gentry Humphrey, if you know, you know. But yeah, the Jordan PE Hall of Fame that Ray Allen is in a class in all by himself, that gets discussed in this one as well. I won't keep you guys waiting any longer. Here's our conversation from the NBA Republika Huddle show with the one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Ray Allen. My name is Nico Ramos. This is the Call to Arms podcast.
Something going on around the islands. Money flowing wherever I've been promised. Just another Viking in the tropics. Taking over, trying to stop this novice. Make it killing, I'm finna conquer. I'm a dreamer, the floor is lava. Something going on around the islands. Straight fire when we vibe and promise.
We are extremely fortunate. We are excited out of our minds because we have with us multiple-time NBA champion, multiple-time All-Star, one of the greatest shooters to ever play the game, the one, the only, Mr. Ray Allen is on the Republika Huddle.
Thank you for having me on. I love the Philippines. I'm glad to be on here talking with you and talking to your fan base.
Yeah, well, the Philippines loves you. And, you know, before I get into the actual fun question, something pretty serious. You don't know this, but now I'm telling you, you actually play a very, very significant role in my marriage. I'm recently married, and I grew up a Laker fan, was born in LA. My wife is a diehard San Antonio Spurs fan. So there's very little things we get along with when it comes to basketball, but we are bound to the core by a fundamental fear and respect out of Ray Allen three-pointers. So you, sir, should have been at the wedding. We would have loved to have you there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have made it certainly official. You're like, okay, he's here. We got to make sure we make this marriage last through the test of time right here.
Would have appreciated it. All right, let's talk NBA playoffs. The 2021 playoffs are, I would say, one of the more unexpected playoff runs on both conferences that we've seen in a really, really long time. I know you're watching the game pretty closely. Has there been a favorite series for you so far?
Well, I've had mixed feelings about the playoffs. It's interesting because you have to go back a year and a half to kind of understand where we are today, obviously, with the bubble. So it's been one long season because in between there's only been a month off. So that has had an effect on the Lakers. When you start the season, everybody assumed the Lakers were going to repeat. And so it was easy to say, well, just the Lakers, and you had to worry about anybody else. So in the bubble, the Phoenix Suns were 8-9-0, and they didn't lose a game, and they didn't end up making it into the playoffs. And so people thought that that was just a fluke. And then they have a great year. They bring Chris Paul in, and then, you know, they play the way they play in the playoffs. But now they're in the conference finals. No one ever thought would come to fruition. And I have to give a shout out to my boy, James Jones, who Champ. Just won executive of the year. Yeah, Champ just won executive of the year. Because he's the mastermind behind the Phoenix Suns. And so I'm super proud of him for being able to do that. But then the Clippers now, we assumed they're almost like that late train that just – we know it's coming. You know, and it's supposed to be at the station when it's going to get here. And I think the last 2 years that's been the case. And then they've had some good teams where they just couldn't quite get over the hump. And so finally they're making it to the finals, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Will they drop the egg or lay an egg going into these finals, or they would make it all the way to the NBA finals and have a chance to win an NBA championship? But then obviously you look at Milwaukee, who, again, we expect to be here. You know, they had to be a good Brooklyn Nets team, which they were hampered. So I picked Milwaukee, but no person on this earth thought the Atlanta Hawks would be in the conference finals. Right. I don't think nobody had them picked.
Just Trae Young and his dad from the looks.
Yeah. Of yeah. Just those two. And I love Trae because he's a firecracker. He keeps rolling. Like he's confident. He believes in himself, and those guys, they roll with him. They roll with his confidence, and you can see that they play and they move on his accord. And that's the difference. And I like to teach young people, you know, you follow somebody who displays confidence. It don't always go right. Right. But he never hangs his head.
Right. And you know, Trae is he's not the biggest guy out there, but if people's heights were measured in confidence, Trae Young would be 7 foot easy, because he just has all the belief in himself, especially in that long ball of his. And you know, I know you probably knew this was coming, but the shooting in the NBA now is just through the roof in terms of accuracy is one, but volume is a whole other thing. And even range, you got guys pulling up from the logo. I mean, if someone used to do that 10, 15 years ago, it would have been at the end of a quarter or shot clock. Now there are some guys, there's 20 seconds left on the shot clock. You give them a look from the logo, they're pulling. What's your take on how the shooting has improved and how the NBA game has made room for guys like that to excel?
Well, I don't necessarily believe that the shooting has improved. I believe that you have to, I guess you have to break it down and look at who is shooting.
Right.
The bigs shooting has improved, because in order for them to be out there, they have to be able to space the floor. So you take a guy like Brooke Lopez, who's now shooting threes, Blake Griffin, who is now shooting threes, all those bigs now that never shot threes in their career, they're more back to the basket. Now they're shooting threes. They have improved because they know they have to evolve with the game. And in certain aspects, the guard shooting has gotten worse because they're shooting more threes and just shooting shots early and often. So I believe that there's a perfect mixture, because we're losing the mid-range game a little bit, and we've lost the post-up game. So we don't see any big guys with moves like you see Embiid that is on the block. So it's interesting. I think that there will be a change back to that, you know, in the next couple of years, where you'll start to see bigs come to game, and certain coaches will come in and values the mid-range. And I thought that was one of the reasons why Toronto won a couple of years ago, because when they pump fake, they went in and they got a mid-range shot. Kawhi was good at the mid-range, and he scored in many facets and not just relying on the three ball.
Yeah, and, you know, that brings me to your career numbers page, obviously, and what makes you truly so excellent as a great – three-point shooter and the man with a record for most three-pointers made in the history of the NBA is, if you look at it, you didn't really shoot that many threes. It's just that you were so accurate with it. I looked it up and I couldn't believe it. Your career attempts per game from three was at 5.7. I was like, that can't be right, because how do you make that many threes? And then I look at the percentages and I go, oh, all right, No, for his career, north of 45%. Okay, now that makes sense. But if you were shooting at the volume that they're shooting right now, that number, that make number, would be so much higher. What would you say has been the key for you in order to, I guess, be that efficient? Because it wasn't about volume. It wasn't about forcing it, chucking it up, shooting a three for the sake of shooting a three. 5.7 attempts a game, in modern terms, that's not so much. But you still made more than anybody ever has, and that's because of your accuracy. What would you say the biggest ingredient to be you being just so dead-eye accurate?
Well, first of all, you have to be available to play many games to get that many opportunities. And secondly, I always said that I didn't like shooting threes. It was just a function of the game. Wow. I didn't want to start a game by shooting threes. I wanted to play. There were so many different nuances to the game. And just to have the weapon of the three to set up everything else was a weapon, and it was dangerous. So being on 3-point line and somebody sees me out there pump fake, I get to the hole. When they converge, then I pass out to somebody else and they shoot a three. So just understanding how to use the weapon and not always have to engage the weapon. You know, I wanted to teach people and show them that for me, if I take 5 threes a game, I want to have 6 to 8 to 12 twos, you know, so that way, you know, I'm not relying. And then you get to the free throw line. So if you break the game down, you're scoring 20 plus points a game easily because you're making 2.5 threes a game. But then the rest of it is free throws. And if I'm, you know, 5 for 7 from the field and I make two threes, that right there is 16 points. And I go to the free throw line 7 times a game, I'm averaging 23 a game.
Right.
So to be able to break the game down like that and not use the three, like to figure out, am I hot tonight or is it going to go in? Like the best time to shoot a 3-pointer is after offensive rebound or in transition on a fast break. So you just use those opportunities, and anything in between, you get in the paint and you create easier opportunities for yourself and your teammates.
Now, the most clutch 3-pointer ever made off an offensive rebound is by you, sir. And it's the biggest, most clutch history swinging three we've arguably ever seen, the NBA Finals against the Spurs. Our guy, Coach Eric Spoelstra, obviously was on the sideline as part of that Miami team. And, you know, we love him. We're extremely proud of him as a Filipino. Can you talk us through a little bit? Because when we see him on TV, he looks pretty stoic. He looks pretty, everything is calm according to plan. But can you talk to us a little bit about the moment, you know, after that shot, you all go back to the huddle and maybe give us a little glimpse of what it was like and, you know, how he was as a coach to that team in that massive moment?
Well, I'll tell you, Spo, he's so calm and cool under pressure. Like how you see him on the sideline is how he always is. Like I've never seen him erratic or lose his composure at any point throughout the game or even in the huddle, even in the locker room for that matter. We had in those years some of the oldest teams in the NBA, so there's a mutual respect amongst you know, both sides. So when you're in that situation, you know, you pretty much know kind of where to be and what you want to do. So it's, when it came down to that moment, we had been in some clutch situations in fourth quarters before, so we kind of had a template for where everybody was supposed to be. Right. And spacing is super key. A lot of times, like if you see where I'm standing, I'm all the way in the corner. And I stay there in the corner, and I make sure I stay there because I want to give my guys space. And then I know how to move up and down that 3-point line. And that in that moment, that's why I went into the paint, because I can't sit on the 3-point line thinking that the ball is going to come to me. I got to go get it, especially with however many seconds, under 10 seconds to go in the game, you just got to get the ball, you know, and it's about doing what the team needs when it needs it to be done. So I think that's what every player on that team embodied in 2013 was the selflessness, the ability to do whatever needed to be done at that time. And that moment gets us to game seven. And you know, interestingly enough, I've worked my whole career, and now, you know, I coach my sons. I always tell them the importance of the lines on the floor. Respect the lines on the floor, out of bounds lines, 3-point line, free throw line, the hash mark, the block. They will always give you a reference to where the basket is. And so when, you know, when that moment happened, I really knew where I was the whole time. I didn't think about it. I didn't have to look down, and it was just second nature. And even at the time, I didn't even think about it because, like, I've done this a million times, but now as I move further away from it, I'm like, wow, I really didn't even think about it. Like, because you're so far away from the moment, it's like, I didn't think about it. And then just the other night, I'm watching Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and I see Kevin Durant step on the line. And I was like, wow, right, that is right there. The cardinal sin. He took a long two, and it cost him ultimately a championship.
Right.
Because if he knew where that line was, he would have got his feet behind it, because I knew he was going to go for a three to try and get the win. And he made the shot, but just the foot was on the line.
And it happens more often than it doesn't, which is what makes your shot that much greater. People talk about muscle memory, and a lot of them think it's just in the arms and in the release of the ball. And while that's true, you and that shot is the ultimate example of muscle memory in terms of floor spacing and your feet and knowing where you are and where you're not and where you have to be. And you've got those sneakers behind the line perfectly, but also between the three-point line and the out-of-bounds line. Now, as a last bit, I did mention sneakers, and you and I have a common friend, one Mr. Gentry Humphrey. I've told people, and he's told me, and he said this is no argument. You see a little bit of a collection here behind me, but let's get this straight for the record. Apart from maybe the man himself, MJ, no one has a better PE collection than you, right? I mean, let's just say that right now. You probably have, in the history of Jordan Brand, the best PEs ever, hard stop.
I would agree with that.
The lucky 13s, the record-breaking green and white 13s, are those the favorite?
It's hard to say what the favorite is, because each moment, the great thing about the shoes, when you think about it, they all represent a time and a place. And I grew up watching MJ in the shoes, and the Fire Red 4s are my favorites of all time. I never played in the 4s. I started, actually, they didn't make the 4s then. I played in the 2s. I played in the 5s and on from there. But the 11s were probably my favorite to play in, because they were, for me and my movement, they had the best sole. You know, they're a little narrow, but when I think about the shoes I played in, I have to actually think about the teams that I was on and the game
moments,
that I was
the playing games.
In. Yeah, because right. Those are what mean more than anything, and that's what symbolizes that shoe and kind of etches it in your memory forever. And I'm forever grateful to the brand for allowing me to have the shoe on my feet, you know, over my journey.
You know, anyone who has the Jordan 13 Ray Allens, they're going to say easily that that's their favorite pair. Because you have the depth of the collection that you do, you can say, I can't pick a favorite because I have so many of them and they're all great. So that is the flex. Ray Allen on the Republica Huddle, we appreciate you making time for us. Congratulations on everything. And this really, truly means a lot to our Filipino fans. And we can't wait to one day have you back here.
Nikos, I had such a great time when I was in Manila. I was amazed at the reception that I received from the moment I got into the airport to moving throughout the city. I can't wait to go back. The Filipino fan base is amazing. You guys love the NBA over there, and you have a great city, and I just can't wait till I get an opportunity to visit with you all again.
What can I say? I wish we had more time with the one, the only Mr. Ray Allen, but it was – an incredible experience, and it's something we're going to remember for a long, long time. And meanwhile, for all of you guys who are excited to watch the remainder of the NBA playoffs live on One Sports TV5 and NBA TV Philippines, or you can watch it always on demand via NBA League Pass. Don't forget to visit nbastore.com.ph for the all of the freshest gear and all-time favorite merch, accessories, whatever it is that you guys can think of. It's been another extremely special episode of the Republica Huddle. I'll see you guys again very, very soon, and we'll be back with more of the Huddle.
I want a million lives. I want a billion profits when all that I got is a villainous mind. I keep a real in the pocket while you hear the venomous lies. I do not speak like a prophet because I got a million styles. Let's see what's really inside. Pulling over in the whip, flying out another trip.